Will the Senate please come to order? Members, please note their presence by voting. Secretary, please take the roll.
The roll shows 15 members present this morning. Senator Homan and Senator Sackett are excused from the call of Senate today.
Will the Senate please rise for prayer? With us playing Amazing Grace today are Tom Colleen, Gordon, Mike Sell, Dave Barnack, and Adam Martin. Secretary, please certify us to the correctness of the Daily Journal.
Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
I'd just like to ask that my presence be noted. Thank you.
Senator Ray also requests it.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the Journal for the 57th legislative day, Senate Supplement number 15 and 16.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Journal for the 57th legislative day and Senate Supplements 15 and 16 be approved to certify.
Hear no objection. The Journal is certified. This brings us down to introduction of guests. Does any member have a guest to introduce? Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pride this morning to introduce to the Senate the 11th and 12th graders from the Aleutian Regional School District. These students are from Falls Pass, Nelson Lagoon, Coal Bay, Acatan, and Atka. Before getting into the introductions, I'd like to note that they've just partaken in the Native Youth Olympics and were awarded the Sportsmanship Award at that doings. We have with us today Gail Warner, Lavera Yachmanoff, Dale Chapman, Jay Bakerman, Danny Sheroff, Ray Johnson, Gary Roberts, Theo Chesley, Dale Gunderson, Charlie Jackson, Daley Nelson, Rosemary Media, George Kurdrin, and Dale Yachmanoff. The chaperones are Andy Calkin and Dave Hansaker. Thank you.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, I take pleasure in introducing two people from Wasilla here checking on us to see what we're doing about the disastrous economic situation in the Mat Valley area, Mr. Bruce Johnson and Mr. Joe Wilhoff. Oh.
Senator Curtula.
Another gentleman that came with him, and I'm embarrassed to say that I know his first name's Bob. I'm wondering if Bruce would introduce him for me, the person who died there. Excuse me.
Any further introductions?
Mr. President, I know there's one other individual, a beautiful wife of our commissioner of administration, Lucy Hudson.
Welcome, Lucy. I see sitting next to her is a member of the State Library Board, Marion Hyland of Ninochka. Welcome, Marion.
Mr. President.
Senator Hackney.
I'd like to introduce a lady whom I just saw come into the gallery on this side. She's a retired lady. She's a former member of the legislature, state of Iowa, I believe that's correct. And she's up here working at Sheldon Jackson in a volunteer capacity, Miss Opal Sargent.
Any further introductions? Messages from the governor.
We have no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the other house.
Message of March 10, the House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 82 amended by the Judiciary Committee proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to annulment of regulations by the legislature.
Judiciary.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 546 by the Judiciary Committee, an act increasing prejudgment and post-judgment interest rates.
Judiciary's finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 670, finance, by the Finance Committee, an act making appropriations to the Department of Labor, Workmen's Compensation Division, and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Management, finance.
A message held over from March 5th, the House has passed Senate Bill 104 amended, establishing the Court of Appeals, and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 104, Judiciary amended House.
Can we stand at ease for just 1 minute?
Mr. President. All right, fine.
Come back to order. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent the Senate recess for approximately 10 minutes for party caucuses.
Hear no objection. The Senate is in recess for party caucus. Senate, please come back to order. We're under messages from the other house.
Thanks for the courtesy.
Senator Ziegler, you have the floor.
Do we have a committee substitute for 104 before us? Time.
It was brought up just before we went to caucus.
Mr. President, I move we concur in the House amendments to the subject bill.
Jack.
Very briefly, Mr. President, some of the differences between the two bills, which perhaps require limited comment, at least on my part. The House version of the bill allows the defendant to choose whether to appeal to the Superior Court or to the three-judge Court of Appeals. The House version allows a magistrate to become a district court judge after having served as a magistrate for 7 years, and this is irrespective of whether or not the magistrate has been admitted to the practice of law in the state. The House version allows justices and judges to file as delegates to constitutional conventions. The House bill changes residency requirements for justices and judges from 3 years to 5 years. And the Senate version of the bill allowed the Supreme Court to review, at its discretion, a final decision of the Court of Appeals on its own motion or upon application of a party. The House version provides that the Supreme Court may review a final decision of the Court of Appeals on the application of either party. I don't think it's a perfect bill. I don't think anybody professes that it is, but the Supreme Court has advised me that they would appreciate are concurring in the House amendments and letting the bill go under the statute. So I do urge concurrence.
Mr. President.
Senator Curtula.
May I humbly request one question? I do believe, Mr. President, that many of the amendments just spoken to by the chairman of the Judiciary Committee are desirable. I think that they're good amendments, and to those I would speak in support. My problem is, again, I have never heard established on this floor in previous debate the desirability or indeed the necessity of an appellate judicial position. Mr. President, there has been a great deal of statistics to show that we really don't have that much of a burden upon the courts if they were slightly more efficient. And I just would like to hear the reason for support for this measure.
Senator Ziegler?
A couple of comments might be in order, Mr. President. First of all, I don't think anybody can deny the fact that the court load has increased tremendously in the last couple of years. And I think further that most of the increase is attributable directly to the fact that the Attorney General abolished or eliminated plea bargaining a few years ago. As a result, more and more criminal cases are going to trial. And as a result of the increase in the criminal caseload, why you have civil litigants backed up forever today. They can't get into the courthouse. It is hoped that with the creation of this three-judge court, Senator Petula, that the Supreme Court will have time to address itself to civil litigation, which it cannot do under the existing situation. I'm not carrying the water for the court system. Everybody seems to feel as if I really care deeply and personally about this. You remember when we introduced this May of last year, I said this is coming in at the request of the Supreme Court, and you know, you can do with it what you want to, but I do think that the situation is desperate. It requires alleviation, and the only way I can think of to do it, at least for the present, in the present circumstances, is to pass this bill. And I hope you do.
Senator Curtula.
Is it the testimony of the Judiciary Chairman, Mr. President, that we're desperate at the appeal level? I know there's been some testimony in the past that we're desperate at the trial court level, and I think there's legislation floating around to assist in that. But are we desperate at the appeal level at the Supreme Court? Of course, presently acts as the Court of Appeal.
Senator Ziegler?
I should have made this point clear, and I apologize for not having done so. As it is now, appeals can mandatorily be taken in criminal cases to the Supreme Court, and they must consider each and every one of them and dispose of it one way or another. Under this bill, the Supreme Court may or may not end up by taking jurisdiction during the appellate procedure. They have a right to say, no, we don't want any part of it. In that case, the Court of Appeals decision would be the final law of the land. So it gives them a little discretion, like a writ of certiorari in the U.S. Supreme Court. They can deny to take jurisdiction, or they can take jurisdiction and hear the matter.
Senator Curtula.
Final question. Did the Supreme Court at any time, or did the court system administration propose any alternatives as a solution to their impact, other than adding more judges or a new level of the judiciary bureaucracy? I'm just curious.
Through the chair,
Senator Ziegler.
To my knowledge, no. This is the only proposal that I've seen.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, through the chair, possibly to the judiciary chairman, if you care to respond. On page 9, starting on line 19, the thrust of the Superior Court's jurisdiction as far as when a case has been appealed to them. Previously, is this correct? Previously, they could modify the sentence either upward or downward, but now under this new proposal, this new bill, that all they can do is put it downward and not increase it.
That's correct. That's the way it reads. Yes, sir.
I wonder if I was on judiciary, and I certainly apologize to the chairman, but apparently I didn't see this part of it. Or if I did, it didn't ring in my mind, and I wonder if he could give us the benefit of the thinking of why it can only be modified downward instead of upward.
Senator Ziegler?
Mr. President, may we stand at ease? I've got a section-by-section analysis, and I'd like to review it before I try to comment.
Senator Stans, please. Senator Ziegler?
By the way, I would be somewhat remiss if I didn't congratulate my administrative aide, Guy Van Doren, who has really performed yeoman-like services on this bill. Okay, section 2210.020A. The Senate version repealed the language which stated that an appeal from a subordinate court is not allowed after a plea of guilty except in cases of excessive sentencing, and no appeal by the state except to test the sufficiency of an indictment or information. It also repealed the language which allowed an appeal to the Superior Court on the ground that a sentence of imprisonment of 180 days or more was excessive. The House version, the version which is before us, left most of the existing language intact, inserted new language. The state has no right to appeal in criminal cases except to test the sufficiency of an indictment or information, or to appeal a sentence on the ground that is too lenient. They also reduced the number of days an excessive appeal may be made from 180 days to 90 days, and gives the Superior Court under this jurisdiction the ability to reduce rather than modify the sentence.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, through the chair, I would like to thank the Judiciary Chairman, and I thank him for helping me, because I remember being in Judiciary and I couldn't remember that language having been addressed in that fashion. This is just one more reason why I'm going to vote against the bill, because I think it's terrible.
Right. Senator Curtula.
And in many times I find myself in association with, but it has to be remembered that the chairman of the House Judiciary has an extreme liberal bent, and I suspect you're going to find that throughout this bill. That's all I've got to say.
Mr.
President, do we have a fiscal note with this? Do we know what the fiscal implications are?
Madam Secretary, is there?
There is no fiscal note.
When the bill was introduced originally, it came to, you know, Senate Judiciary, and then it went to Senate Finance. I think that the fiscal note for the first year's operation was somewhere around $600,000 or $700,000, but that's, I'm going back almost a year to remember that figure. I think that's about it.
Thank you, sir. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, the real problem with the appeal situation in the state of Alaska is the fact that our court system is not operating the way it was intended. Originally, our system was intended to have trials with very few appeals to go forward. That's not the case today. We have appeals as a matter of course. As a consequence, the system which was designed 600 or 700 years ago in England just isn't functioning right. And I might add that in England, they still don't allow the number of appeals that we do. Our system is unique in that aspect, and sometimes it breaks down. And that's what's happened in Alaska. Our system has suffered a partial breakdown because of the propensities of my colleagues at the bar to appeal cases, and sometimes for very good reason. We have a choice of either allowing the situation to continue and having a clogged docket with the Supreme Court unable to get to very important civil cases that affect the economy of Alaska, or adopting a Court of Appeals bill, one which I don't necessarily agree with all portions of, but which will go a long way towards alleviating some of the problems that we see in the court system. The other side of the coin is that the court itself must do everything it can to expedite appeals, and in some cases to deny appeals and insist that trials be had in trial court as our system intended them to be. This is the only thing I think the legislature can do at this time to address a very important matter. And I'm going to vote for the bill somewhat reluctantly because I don't agree with all portions of it, but it's better than allowing the present system to continue. And I think we'll all work and hope that the Supreme Court will streamline its procedures as much as possible.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
As long as we're getting into this in this depth, I believe that statistics will show that at least 50%, if not more, of the cases that were appealed to the Supreme Court have been reversed by the Supreme Court. Now, I don't understand why the appellate court is going to be any more in tune with the lower courts, or if the lower courts are going to get any smarter. This to me, this seems we either have a bunch of bad judges, or we have a bunch of judges at the top that are not in tune. Now, providing a new court is not going to change this, not going to change it one bit. You're just going to have three more people putting their fingers into the pot, and the Supreme Court in its wisdom, will be the final determination anyway.
Senator Curtula.
Senator Ray makes an exceedingly good point. And my position is this, that perhaps more care should be placed at the trial court level if we got so much appeal. Perhaps they're not careful enough, and perhaps they're not confident enough at that level, and changing the system isn't going to alleviate that problem. But you should have better judges, apparently, to put more time and more scholarship into their decisions.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I don't necessarily disagree with Senator Curtula or Senator Ray, but the point of the matter is the court system is a separate and equal branch of government, protected by several constitutional guarantees, and our ability to determine their policies is somewhat limited. This bill, I hope, will allow the Supreme Court the tools that it needs to solve the caseload problem. If it doesn't, certainly this body in the next few years is going to take a rather dim view, particularly of the court's budget, and in one way or another assist them in solving this problem.
Just, Senator Ray.
Just in the open closing, Mr. President, we, the legislature, were informed by the Supreme Court, as was the rest of the state, recently on the Alive case. Now, if that's the credibility, and that's the level of jurisprudence that you can expect from the Supreme Court, maybe we should eliminate the Supreme Court and just have an appellate court.
Senator Ziegler.
In closing, let me hasten to assure Senator Ray that if he will appear, as he always does, at Judiciary Committee meeting this afternoon, that prompt and efficient action will be taken to alleviate the problem about which he just spoke, that is to say, the matter of regulation.
Question. Ready for the question.
So, House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 104 as amended by the House, shall the Senate concur with the House amendments? Members may proceed to vote. Any senator wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 4 nays, 2 excused.
And so the Senate has concurred in the House amendments, the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 104. Senator Clinton.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call for concurrence in House Committee substitute Senate Bill 104 amended be considered the roll call vote on the court rule of change 21, rule number 7, and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, all effective date clauses are adopted. Are there any further messages from the House? Oh, Senator Ferguson, you wish the floor.
Mr. President, the parliamentary inquiry, how many votes were needed to pass that?
14.
Reconsiderations available on this.
Are there any further messages from the House?
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 287, Civil Liability for Shoplifting, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Bradley, Chairman, concurring Senator Sturgiewski, Stimson, and Kelly. Senator Ferguson signed, no recommendation. SB 287 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 367, Savings Associations, and a majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Bradley, Chairman, concurring Senator Stimson and Sturgiewski. Senator Kelly signed, no recommendation. SB 367 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Commerce Committee considered committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 52, proposed amendments to FAA regulations, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Bradley, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Stimson, Sturgeon-Dixie, and Bradley. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 52 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 275, Finance, Special Appropriation to the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Sumner, Chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Curtula, Dankworth, Mulcahy. 275 has a further referral to Finance. The Rules Committee considered the following and recommend they be placed on the March 11 calendar. Senate Joint Resolution Number 38, Development of a Commuter Railroad in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley. Senate Bill Number 340, Requiring Legislative Approval of Regulations. Senate Bill 438, Exempting Certain Sales of Energy from Regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. Senate Bill 447, Definition of Municipal Bonds under the Municipal Bond Bank Authority Act. Signed, Senator Collette, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Sumner, and Tillian. These do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports today.
Are there any special committee reports?
We have no special committee reports.
No introductions of resolutions or bills?
No resolutions or bills today.
That brings us to today's calendar.
Senate Bill Number 340 by Senator Fahrenkamp, an act requiring legislative approval of regulations. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and do pass. Signed, Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Meeland, Bennett, and Dankworth. There is the committee substitute.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I move the committee substitute and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing no objection, the committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 340 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the effectiveness of administrative regulations. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and committee substitute for Senate Bill 340 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed for final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 340, an act relating to the effectiveness of administrative regulations.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I ask the support of this body on this bill. All regulations are under it are required to come before the legislature for 60 days, and any emergency regulation has 120 days in which it can be in effect. If we do not do something to help control regulations in this state, I feel that we'll be in the same situation that we are nationally, and I urge the support of the body.
Question. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 340 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas, one nay, two excused.
And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 340 has passed the Senate.
Senate Bill Number 438 by Senator Fahrenkamp, an act exempting certain sales of energy from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and do pass. Signed, Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring Senators Meeland, Bennett, and Dankworth. Senator Ray signed, no recommendation.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I urge the adoption of the Judiciary Senate Committee substitute as unanimous.
Yeah. Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Committee substitute
is adopted.
for Senate Bill number 438 by the Judiciary Committee, an act exempting certain sales, exchanges, or gifts of energy from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and providing for an effective date. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and committee substitute for Senate Bill 438 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
No objection.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 438, an act exempting certain sales, exchanges, or gifts of energy from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and providing for an effective date.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, this bill would enable the waste energy being generated throughout the state to either be traded, sold, or bartered without becoming under the control of AWC. And it would help agencies like the Golden Valley, others, to make use of this heat that's now going to waste energy.
Question. The question has been called for. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 438 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 excused.
And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 438 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 438 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Hear no objection. The effective date clause is adopted.
Senate Bill number 447 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the definition of municipal bonds under the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority Act and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Sackett, Chairman, and Senators Holman, Ray, Krutula, Bennett, and Sumner signed no recommendation. Senator Hackney signed do pass. There is an amendment number 1 by the Finance Committee. On page 1, line 15 and 16, delete the word except and insert including. Delete other than diesel power generation.
Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, I would move the Finance Committee amendment to the bill. It's just more clearly expresses the intent of the bill in the second section with that language.
Are there any objections?
Object.
Senator Stimson, your objection?
Mr. President, maybe I'm confused. It strikes me that instead of more clearly explaining the intent, it's almost contrary, since the word is accept and we're changing it to including.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, as the author of the amendment, what the original language did was just allow a revenue bond, which includes a revenue bond for electrical generation purposes used by diesel-powered generation. In other words, that was the exception in the original proposal, that only electrical generation provided by diesel-powered generation could be used. So we've changed that around to make it easier to understand and allow other electrical energy, such as solar, hot water, etc., things that would provide a electrical generation.
Thank you, Senator Ray. I remove my objection.
Hear no objection. Amendment number 1 is adopted.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 447 amended be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed for final passage.
No objection.
Senate Bill number 447 amended, an act relating to the definition of municipal bonds under the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority Act and providing for an effective date.
The question has been called for. The question is, shall Senate Bill 447 as amended pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 excused.
And so Senate Bill 447, as amended by the Senate, has passed the Senate. Senator Clevin.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of Senate Bill 447 amended be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
There are no objection. The effective date clause is adopted.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 38 by Senators Curtula, Coletta, Simpson, and Bradley, relating to the development of a commuter railroad in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution, and a majority of the committee recommends due pass with an amendment. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring, Senators Bradley and Kelly. Senator Ziegler signed without recommendation. There is an amendment number one by the State Affairs Committee. Page 1, line 16, after the word valley, insert Eagle River, Chugiak areas, and delete the word area.
Mr. President. Senator Mulcahy.
I would move the State Affairs Amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, and I move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and SJR 38 amended be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed for final passage.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 38 amended, relating to the development of a commuter railroad in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley.
Question has been called for. The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 38 amended by the Senate pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 2 nays, 2 excused.
And so Senate Joint Resolution 38 is amended by the Senate has passed the Senate.
President, we stand to you, please.
Back to order. Madam Secretary.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 51 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee approving the District Coastal Management Program of the Municipality of Anchorage and the findings, conclusions, and stipulations of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered this resolution and reports it back as follows. Senator Strzelewski, Chairman, and Senator Stimson signed due pass. Senator Mulcahy signed no recommendation. There are no amendments.
Senator Clevin.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adopt SCR 51.
Ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 51 be adopted? Members, please proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 5 nays, 2 excused.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution 51 has passed the Senate.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 52 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee endorsing an action of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered this resolution and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Strzelewski, Chairman, concurring, Senators Mulcahy and Stimson. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move the Senate adopt SCR 52.
Question has been called for. The question. Senator Ziegler, did you wish the floor?
Very briefly, I know that how some of you feel, and quite strongly, about coastal zone and anything that has to do with it, but this resolution pertains to an Island Reserve. They did not have to come in, they opted to come in. In other words, they were trying to show that they were good citizens and they approved of the thing. So this is one time I think you can, even if you hate coastal zone planning, you can still vote for this particular resolution.
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 52 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 3 nays, 2 excused.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution 52 has passed the Senate.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 53 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee approving an amendment to a regulation adopted by the Alaska Coastal Policy Council. the Community and Regional Affairs Committee consider this resolution and reports it back as follows. Senator Sturdy-Lewski, Chairman, and Senator Stimson signed, do pass. Senator Mulcahy signed, no recommendation. There are no amendments.
Senator Clement.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adopt SCR 53.
Senator Ray.
Just a point of information. In light of the recent Supreme Court case, does an amending an existing regulation have the same effect as annulling it?
Mr. President.
Senator Sturdy-Lewski.
In the information that we had, it was very clear the ruling of the court dealt with annulling and did not refer to approving.
You ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution 53 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 6 nays, 2 excused.
And so Senate concurrent resolution 53 has passed the Senate.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 54 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee approving the District Coastal Management Program of the City of Haines and the findings, conclusions, and stipulations of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered this resolution and recommends do pass, signed Senator Sturdy-Lewski, Chairman, concurring Senator Stimson and Senator Mulcahy. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adopt SCR 54.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
I find myself in the same position as my colleague from Ketchikan. Haines is in my district, and I have had communications from the ruling bodies in Haines, both the borough and the city, that they are, although they are not in complete accord, they would rather this be done unto them than something worse at a later date. And so I would ask all the members to vote for it.
Question.
The question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution 54 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
President, I'll change my vote.
Mr. President, I'll change my vote.
Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 3 nays, and 2 excused.
And so Senate concurrent resolution 54 has passed the Senate. That brings us to the bottom of today's calendar. Under unfinished business, Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, give notice of reconsideration for Senate concurrent resolution number 51.
Notice of reconsideration is noted. Anything further under unfinished business?
Mr. President.
Senator Bradley.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate, not subject to a call, on Friday, March 14th, to fulfill a speaking engagement in on your peninsula.
Question through the chair.
Talk about that a little bit.
Question through the chair, Mr. President.
The journal will so reflect. Senator Ray?
Through the chair to the chairman of the Commerce Committee. Is it going to be anything like your last debate that you had here in Goodham?
No, Senator Ray.
If it is, I'll let you go.
Senator Ziegler.
Refer to the order of introduction of guests.
Hearing no objection, the Senate reversed the introduction of guests.
In the gallery on my side, I just noticed an old friend and colleague of many of us, Representative Richard McVeigh. Thank
you. Welcome to the senior house, Richard. As a former member of the legislature, you can have privilege of the floor if you wish to exercise it.
Thank you,
Senator Hackney, back on unfinished business.
Yes, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate, not subject to a call, on Friday the 14th to attend a meeting of the last of the embattled old pioneers, the Grand Old Party in Fairbanks.
Senator Ziegler, Senator Stimson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call as a chair. Next Thursday and Friday, March 20th and 21st, I'm meeting with your constituents in Kenai.
Hey, we got you going.
Journal will so reflect, but please, let's leave enough members on the floor to continue to do business. Anything further on unfinished business? Special orders? Senator Curtula on the special orders.
I'm asking unanimous consent to the floor on special orders. Just a comment for a moment.
You have it, sir.
Mr. President, yesterday, the first time in many, many years, a delegation of people came in from the greater Wasilla Matanuska Valley areas. I really appreciate the time of the many senators that they gave to this delegation and the concern and consideration that they also voiced. And again, on behalf of the delegation myself, I thank you for doing so.
Is there anything further under special orders? Committee announcements? Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, just an announcement on tomorrow's Hess committee meeting. It's canceled. No meeting. Hess.
Mr. President.
Senator Sturgeon.
Community and Regional Affairs today at 1:30. Two items, SB 446 appropriation to Department of CRA for construction of a ski jump. SB 453, a special appropriation to the Fairbanks North Star Borough for the development of a park strip along the Chena River.
Any further committee announcements?
Mr. President, not a committee announcement, but a luncheon announcement. The Republican luncheon will meet in the Capitol Room of the Baranoff Hotel today, and the guest speaker will be the Honorable Rick Alford.
What about finances? Is there going to be a meeting tomorrow? Senator Ray?
We don't know.
Senator Ziegler?
I'd like to make an announcement, if I might, concerning the luncheon meeting tomorrow at noon. I am going to be the guest speaker at the Democratic Club. This is the second time I've addressed that organization in my 18 years of service, and I've already spoken to the Republicans twice. Don't miss it if you can.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, a general reminder, the PAL's annual cocktail cruise affair this evening, 6:15 at the dock. Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to send it adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.